Warren Motti, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Warren, you've written a very interesting book about this concept of mirror gazing. It's a book really about reading. It's like reading a book about reading. Can you kind of just tell us, first of all, what that means, mirror gazing, and how that relates to reading?
I can tell you that, about 35 years ago, when I was a graduate student, it's a very, very long time ago, I started becoming interested in scenes in literary works where characters look into the mirror. And I started collecting these scenes kind of as an antidote to the dissertation that I was writing at the time, just to have something of my own to do and so forth. And as I started collecting them, I got more and more fascinated in them. And I saw that in certain of these scenes, you know, the person would gaze into the mirror and recognize herself or himself. In other scenes, that recognition would come with more difficulty. And in other scenes still, the person wouldn't recognize herself or himself at all. So I collected these, you know, in my readings over the years, and finally I ended up with somewhere between 12,000 and 15,000 of them. So in each of these scenes, there's someone looking into the mirror. And I slowly realized that part of what I was interested in was the gaze itself, the way that people look at themselves or gaze at themselves in the mirror. And I realized a little later still that I was actually looking at these people while they were looking at themselves, and that a lot of what interests me was the gaze itself in the representation of the gaze itself in a literary text and the representation of the gaze in reading. That is, reading is looking.
So let me pick up on that, what they're looking for when they're reading. So what it sounds to me is that you've found some consistency among multiple literary works in terms of people. There's some scenes where people look at themselves in the mirror. But you've taken that actual kind of physical doing, right, of gazing at oneself in the mirror, to extending that somehow to what you expect to see, what you and how does that translate into then kind of like what you expect to read in the book?
Well, I think there's a broad spectrum of possibility. People can sort of gaze at themselves or look at themselves in the mirror for very pragmatic reasons, in order to shave, for instance, or in order to brush their hair. People can look into the mirror in an effort to figure out who they are and how they want to try to be in the world. You know, so it can range from something very, very practical to something far more sort of personal, even metaphysical. And I'm interested in that variety of gaze, you know, the way that it can shift so dramatically. I think that in terms of my own approach to these scenes, I'm a formalist. So what I'm interested in is kind of the shape that these scenes take rather than how they play out in every single instance and the kind of message that they convey or might convey about how the human subject represents himself or herself to himself or herself, and how that kind of representation can be played out in literature, in other forms of art as well. I mean, there are lots of mirror scenes in other forms of art, but what I'm interested in is literature. So how that kind of representation of the self is played out in literature.
So why do you think it is that so many of these kinds of scenes are present? And you just mentioned you have more than 10,000 that you've collected. Yeah. Why are they so often used? And are they some sort of, you know, literary form that you actually use, some sort of mirror scene to represent something, to reflect, if you will, a certain perspective?
You know, there are mirror scenes in ancient literature. In fact, there are mirror scenes well before there are mirrors, as we know the mirror, the object. You know, I mean, think of the Greek myth of Narcissus, where Narcissus gazes at himself in the pond. There have always been mirror scenes, I think, in culture. But mirror scenes become more and more frequent as we approach the present. And our time is a very, very specular time. It's a time that's dominated by the mirror. Think of all the other sort of analogous phenomena that attend our culture. Now, think about the selfie, for instance. That's a very recent phenomenon indeed, but it's basically a mirror scene, right? People taking pictures of themselves. So I don't feel authorized to speculate about culture in a very, very broad sense. But I do know that in literary culture, the topos of the mirror scene becomes more and more frequent as we approach the present.
I think that's an extremely interesting analogy, and the fact that you're connecting it to something else in our daily life today, like the selfie. I mean, a selfie can be used in many, many different ways, not only to reflect yourself, but also to communicate something, right? I mean, this is like there are certain applications, for example, like I'm just going to use one, Snapchat, that where you snap a picture of yourself and send it to somebody, and it you're communicating with a facial expression, or you're communicating something with your mirror, you know, as opposed to just typing in something with your thumbs, right? So is that the kind of similar thing that you're seeing in a literary form, is that the mirror scene, the mirror gazing, those are communicating something kind of purposefully and not just a description of what somebody's doing?
They are absolutely purposeful. Yes, absolutely they are. Often the mirror scene testifies to the way that the human subject sees herself or himself in the world. So a mirror scene wherein the subject recognized herself or himself with difficulty might testify to that person's alienation. A mirror scene where the subject failed to recognize himself or herself at all would testify to an alienation that was more catastrophic still, right? I mean, I guess in the literature of the 20th century, we expect somehow the human subject, the individual, to be sort of alienated from the world. What we expect less, I think, is for the subject to be alienated from himself or herself. And that's a prospect, I think, that for most of us is very terrifying indeed, the notion that you might go to the mirror and look at yourself and not recognize yourself. And those moments in literature are consequently very, very harrowing ones indeed, but they all do communicate, certainly.
I think it's also interesting that sometimes you pick up a book and you read it, and no matter what the scene may be, you get something out of it that's unexpected. And what I'm hearing from you is that using this actual tool within the within the book itself, but that the book itself is actually providing you something that you didn't expect to get.
Yes, and books always do that. That's one of the great values of books. They're just infinitely surprising, to me at least. And I've spent my life reading them. I mean, I read bulimically. It's terrible. I've collected so many of these scenes, and they never fail to surprise me. They still surprise me on a daily basis. And one of the most interesting things for me was going back over all these scenes that I'd collected over the years, because I went back through them at one point in order to write my book one by one, and consequently I revisited a lot of books that I had read in the past 35 years. So it allowed me to revisit those moments of astonishment and pleasure in another way, in a different way, and to put those moments to use in a way that I hadn't anticipated. It was a very, very enriching experience for me.
Well, I want to shift a little bit to kind of the area of the world that you've specialized in terms of literature that's written in the French language. So is this concept of mirror gazing, this reflecting that we're talking about, is this something that you see across cultures? I mean, we're talking kind of about very human activities here, right? Reflecting on oneself and perhaps seeing something you recognize or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this seems like something you would see very broadly. Is that the case? I mean, even beyond
French literature?
It is. I can
confirm that. Yeah. You know, and I started out in English literature. I did a BA and an MA in English literature before I went to French literature. I teach comparative literature as well. So I read a lot of different kinds of literature. I read a lot of European literature other than French. I read North American literature, English literature. I read a lot of Latin American literature for fun, just for fun. I read a ton of popular literature as well, detective novels, spy novels, things like that. So I mix it up quite a bit. And indeed, in my book, Mickey Spillane rubs elbows with Marcel Proust, and I think There are probably very few places where that happens. So they're in conversation there. It's probably the only place they're in conversation. But I can testify that they have very interesting things to say to each other. Yeah, I do read a lot of different kinds of literature, and my own sense is that the incidence of these mirror scenes is neither greater nor less in French literature than in any other national literature with which I'm familiar. The difference comes in time period, as we just talked about that. As we come toward the present, literature becomes like the rest of culture more and more specular, then mirror scenes tend to multiply.
So the mirroring going on within the literary work is very much a reflection of one's culture in terms of timing, but yet it's not something that varies from culture to culture in terms of how it's used or, you know, I guess all humans, regardless of where they're from, you know, use reflection in some way, shape, or form to communicate things or to find meaning in something, whether it's themselves, their own lives, society, whatever it may be. But perhaps do it in a different time, in a different way, but that it's – we all do it.
You know, my sense is that there are a great many things in literature that are culturally coded, far more so than these mirror scenes. But to my way of thinking, these mirror scenes are pretty international in character for the reasons that you just, you know, adumbrated. So, you know, whereas other features might vary, you know, the relationship of characters in a novel to food or family structures in the novel or social structures in the novel and so forth and so on, those would vary from culture to culture undoubtedly. But these scenes are so fundamental, it seems to me, that they don't vary that much. From culture to culture, although they do from period to period.
Well, Warren Motti, thank you so much for being here today and helping us reflect on this topic. I appreciate it. It was very interesting.
It's a very great pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.